We're almost there, Marquette fans. We're almost done.
So close to the end.
So close to the end. Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, everyone, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you on Crack Sidewalks. Today we're going to talk about how the regular season ended, how the postseason is beginning, and what hope Marquette may have of shocking the world in New York City this week. But Phil, let's get started on the way the season ended. And I think even the Lloyd Christmas crowd is admitting there is no longer a chance at Marquette getting an at-large bid. The way season really couldn't have ended in much more heartbreaking fashion with two double overtime losses.
I'm pretty sure someone cut me really bad and then stepped on me while pouring salt in the wound with both those losses, because both of those losses were games. In instances, Marquette shouldn't have been in them at the end, and then they were, and then they got ahead, and then they did something stupid, and then the other team did something stupid. So it was a whole lot of stupid going on, and yet somehow Marquette was there all the way at the end with chances to win both games and couldn't do it with either.
It just sucks. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been basically saying, sometimes maybe in a very pessimistic fashion, that Marquette is the mix for an at-large bid for almost 2 months now, really. But when, in fact, maybe they were officially eliminated in the last week or two here. But those last two losses crushed really any hope.
Well, I think the hope was really crushed with Providence. But, you know, St. John's obviously just sealed it beyond any shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely. And I think even if Marquette had won those two games, they'd still have work to do going into the Big East tournament. A lot of work to do going into the Big East tournament this week. But, you know, it just, I think you could see kind of the look of defeat on, like, players and fans' faces, that Marquette, as hard as they tried, they're just still not good enough, and they still can't get a big win. And even when they make good plays on one end, they make mistakes on the other that cost them the game. You know, of course, you know, in the microcosm, of course I'm talking about Todd Mayo there. You know, the Todd Mayo experience is one heck of a roller coaster ride, where he'll hit you a big three on one end and then foul a three-point shooter on the other, and those are just crushing.
Oh man, and more so in the Providence game than the St. John's game, the Todd Mayo effect was on full display. I've never been simultaneously so frustrated and overjoyed with the same player in my entire life. I don't understand how you play Division I basketball and foul a jump shooting three-point shooter twice, and both times the shot goes in, and you give them the fourth point with the free throw. Just so many things that were bizarre and weird, and clock management issues, and a point guard that apparently didn't know how much time was left on the clock. It was just weird.
Yeah, you hear the expression sometimes, don't trade threes for twos. Well, don't trade threes for fours either.
Yeah,
That's also a bad strategy.
So apparently we know how Syracuse felt against Jake Thomas last year.
Right. highlight of Jake Thomas's career still at this point, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, as much as he had kind of a breakthrough season, has done a nice job here, that's still, I think, the highlight of his career.
Yep.
But, boy, it really was upsetting, and you know, because, you know, Marquette actually played better in those two games for the most part. It's just, you know, they couldn't close. They just couldn't get that last, you know, they couldn't get that last shot or the last defensive stop, or, you know, they couldn't get out of their own way on the defensive end. And, you know, gosh, the end of the St. John's game when they had to settle for a Derrick Wilson jumper to try to decide the game. He's like, man, that's exactly, I said even on Twitter before the game, sound like Rick Riley here, as I reported on Twitter, but I said, you know, the guy.
Citing myself.
Yeah, the guy St. John, I said, the guy St. John's wants shooting the ball here is Derrick Wilson, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, they couldn't get it into Gardner. Jake didn't get, you know, they couldn't get it to Jake. They couldn't get, you know, Jameel, nobody. I mean, it was just, ended up just being Derrick, and that was the last guy he wants shooting it. So it's just end of game situations, very unfortunate. Just the last two outcomes were tough. And so now we'll have to see if this team can kind of get its head up and try to figure out a way to win three games in 3 days.
Right. Well, and I mean, the thing, I'm ever the optimist. I may come on here from time to time and just pretend to be a pessimist, but I am an eternal optimist. But I'm, you know, other than, you know, Mayo kind of coming into his own in the last couple of weeks, you know, maybe he's finally putting the pieces together. Yes, the Providence game, he was maddeningly inconsistent. But you know, the St. John's game, he was saddled with a little bit of foul trouble, but he was very good in that game. Fewer Todd Mayo type plays, if you will, than in the Providence game. But I'm hard fought to see any real positives out of the Providence or the St. John's game. There's nothing I took away from either of those two games that says, well, you know, we've got pieces here or there's improvement. I feel like it's just more of the same. I mean, we've been saying it now for 2 months. They are who they are, and I don't see any reason to change that at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's too late in the season to expect any kind of improvement or breakthroughs or anything like that. I mean, the team we saw the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season, that's exactly the team that's going to show up in Madison Square Garden. And that's why I think it's really hard for Marquette fans to get fired up for the Big East tournament. Really, you know, except for a very select few are set, you know, there may be a select few that are saying, hey, I still believe, we have faith, we can get this done. But I think most fans are like, you know, the team we saw against Providence St. John's, that's the team that's going to show up in New York, and that team can't win 3 games in 3 days.
Right. Well, and I think the one thing that's – and we'll clearly go into more depth because that's what people are clamoring for is in-depth on all the things wrong with this team. But we'll do that at a later date. But the one thing I think that adds to the kind of the overall malaise or frustration maybe is just the kind of the brand of basketball Marquette's playing right now. I mean – it's kind of grinding, defense-y, kind, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, you don't see any real highlight plays, you know, and I think that's why everyone kind of gloms on to, like, Deontay Burton, is he seems explosive, and he could have a crazy good play every, you know, on the offensive end every once in a while, and that kind of, like, that gets you, when they're not playing well, that at least gets you something to be excited about or something going on, and I think, you know, that's just part of what's troubling everyone.
Yeah, you know, of course, always the bummer is when you lose on senior day.
Yeah.
Phil, you were there on senior day. I was able to watch at least some of the speeches online. Phil, you were able to hear them all. I guess, what did you think about senior day and, you know, what some of the players had to say?
Well, I mean, the overall impression, first of all, there was a lot fewer fans in the stands than most senior days. So, you know, I get it. You know, first of all, it was a – because we went to double overtime, it was an early start. I'm sure people had places to go and things to do, but the crowd emptied out pretty good. I actually kind of came away from the speeches somewhat morose. I wasn't like excited for the careers. I wasn't. I just kind of thought like the speeches were kind of like the season, and maybe I'm projecting, but were kind of just a little, just a hair flat and a little off of what you expected. And I know it's coming off an emotional loss and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's probably the thing you got to keep in mind. I mean, the guys have just had their hearts ripped out 2 games in a row and 2 games that they thought they had won. And they, you know, in their mind, they were still fighting for their tournament lives and they still thought they had a shot even going into the St. John's game. And, you know, when they lost again, I think it all kind of reality set in for all of them that, you know, we're probably going to the NIT. And that was the big bummer, I think. And so I wouldn't expect great speeches in that scenario.
Right.
And, you know, the debate is, you know, should you have senior day after the game or before the game? And it's easy to say after the game when you lose, because, you know, when the team loses, of course, it stinks to have senior day after a loss. But, you know, when senior day is before the game, you know, it's a festive occasion. Everyone's there in their seats and it can be a good thing. But I guess maybe from coach's perspective, they'd rather have the team focused and dialed in before an important game. I don't know what the right answer is when the quote unquote right time to have senior day is, but ideally the perfect situation is when you win on senior day.
Right.
And then everyone stays and cheers, say, yay, we won. Let's hear from our seniors. But,
It always
stinks to have senior day on a loss.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that definitely added to the kind of what was going on. But it was, and again, you know, it's hard to remove your own kind of personal feelings from what you're receiving from the players and the speeches and stuff. But I definitely kind of got, I mean, there was some optimism there, but I definitely got a hint from all the speeches, like, I think the team is, first of all, I think they're emotional, and I don't think any of the seniors, you know, especially given the last 3 years how well they've performed, I don't think Jameel and Devontae and Jake and Chris want to go out saying, yeah, we were at the Elite Eight last year, and this year, we'll make the NIT. You know, I don't think they want that, so that's certainly unfortunate for them and weighs on them. But I just kind of got the impression that some of the fan frustration and some of the fan base kind of clamoring for different things has impacted the team a little bit. And I'm not saying that's right or justified. It just, it seems to be there a little bit, you know, because I don't know how many times they mentioned, you know, they didn't say, well, I'm glad you guys are here for this, but it was, you know, I'm glad the true fans stayed and, you know, and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Is that what they said? They said, like, I'm glad a couple fans stayed? They didn't say that, did they?
No. Buzz, when he kind of first started, he's like, I'm glad to see all the true fans have stayed and are here to honor the seniors and stuff like that. So, I mean, there was it was not something where you go, oh, that was definitely a slight, but it was something that I just kind of – that kind of pricked my ears, and I kind of went, it was just an interesting way to say it, whether it was intentional or – subconscious.
That's the thing. He may have meant it as a compliment to the fans who were there, and you know, it kind of comes off like, man, maybe you're upset about something, but
right. It's hard to read. And again, like I said, it's, you know, certainly I'm no, you know, just look at my Twitter feed. I'm no different than anyone else in terms of being frustrated and annoyed with the team, and so, you know, maybe that's reflected in how I hear what's being said. But I mean, it was rightfully so, it was relatively subdued. Senior day activities, but it was good. And you know, I was kind of surprised though, because we joked around about it last week about having to get mops and buckets out for the tears that would flow with, especially with Chris graduating. We know how close Chris and Buzz are, and it didn't happen. I mean, that didn't really happen. So I was kind of surprised. But again, I think maybe they were just emotionally drained.
Yeah, we may see tears after Matt Marquette's last loss of the season when, you know, I'm assuming Marquette's eliminated from the NIT or maybe even from the Big East tournament or whatever. Maybe that's when maybe some of the tears might really start to flow for those guys. But by the way, I didn't realize that Dylan Flood was graduating early.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I
guess it was a late addition because he wasn't on like any of the like programs or any of the tweets. Like they, you know, showed senior day. They only showed the four scholarship guys. But I guess Dylan Flood was. I wonder if that was a situation where Dylan like went up to Buzz and was like kind of shy about it. Goes, "Hey, Buzz, just, you know, just want to let you know, man, I'm graduating, so this is my last game."
Yeah, well, it was weird because his name didn't appear on the thank you seniors sign either that they passed around. So, yeah,
yeah, like I wonder if that was like I said, I don't know how that came up because I'm sure Dylan has known. He's graduating in the spring for a while.
Right, you kind of got to apply for it.
Right. And like, I don't, you know, obviously I think the team keeps track of the players' grades for the most part, but I guess, you know, he's always been listed as a junior on the roster. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it was a situation where, like, maybe some of the players knew, and maybe one of them went up to Buzz and said, hey, Buzz, you know, Dylan's not coming back next year, right? I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know how that, I'm just curious how that came up, like, how he was A, overlooked to begin with, and then B, added late. I don't know how that happened.
Right, yeah, that is kind of a weird thing. So, I'd love to be on a fly on the wall for that conversation.
But I guess my bigger point is we didn't say anything about him last week. So, I do say, you know, obviously he's a walk-on, but, you know, didn't contribute much on the floor. But certainly, as with the rest of the seniors, thanks to Dylan and all the seniors for his contributions to Marquette. Obviously, his most, for the most part, have been in practice. But, you know, it's a thrill for him to be on an NCAA team for 2 or 3 years and – get to hang out with the guys and go on trips. And
well,
stuff like
and I have to really thank him. Granted, we didn't get to use it as much as we thought we would, but I really want to thank him for the Twitter meme that was generated anytime Marquette was up big.
Yeah, the flood watch.
Bradley Center is issuing a flood watch.
Yeah, I was looking forward to maybe another year of the flood watch because if he was a senior walk on, it would have been a little more fun because every time we was like, oh, flood watch.
Yeah, I feel it was underutilized this year.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I think our next flood watch may be when Marquette's season is over and they're getting blown out.
Yes.
In the last game. So sadly, that will probably be our last flood watch of the year.
Oh, but, fitting.
So yeah, that's a wrap on the regular season. But I'd like to, you know, to turn a new leaf here and try to be a little positive as we head to the Big East tournament. I know the overwhelming feeling in the fan base is, season's over, they're done, let's just get it over with and move on and go to the off season. And I think there will be time in future podcasts to totally break down everything that's kind of gone wrong and second-guess everything that's happened in the season. Maybe we'll do that when the season is officially over. But right now, Marquette still has one more chance to dance. They still have one more chance to get into the NCAA tournament, go in there, and steal a bid. Now, obviously, it is a tall task, and I would not bet 5 cents on it happening. But let's talk about maybe a way it could happen, Phil. And I think it starts, obviously, with the game against Xavier. This is the 3-6 game. And the fact that Xavier is not going to have Stainbrook gives me some cautious optimism that Marquette could win their first game.
Right. I mean, it shortened Xavier's bench, and Marquette beat Xavier at home and lost to him on the road. And even on the road, we're in contention until relatively late. So from a matchup standpoint, it's certainly possible for Marquette to beat Xavier. I wouldn't mark it down. I think Stainbrook helps. But that's, I mean, they still have Kristen and some of their other players that have really, really kind of, I don't really feel like Stainbrook was all that big a deal against us in the first two games. Maybe a little more defensively than.
Yeah, that's my thing is with him not there, I expect Gardner to have at least 20 points. I mean, they better be going
and
in
he
him
better. That's
all day.
He better. That's the whole thing. That's the thing where you go just completely insane with frustration is if they play Xavier and Gardner doesn't get 20 points and isn't touching the ball every time in the paint, the ball comes across midcourt, then that's where you go, all right, something is just mind-bogglingly wrong. Because that is, you know, even my dog would identify, you know, Gardner in the post with no Stainbrook as a winning strategy.
Leo knows basketball. He's watched enough.
Yeah, he runs away from it from time to time. Someone here gets a little too excited.
That's because you're yelling at the television.
Yeah, well, more so this season than others.
But the other side of the Xavier thing is, of course, out of the, say, I think Jake Thomas has scored double figures 10 times this year, and maybe like 4 or 5 of those were against, like, opponents that are better than Grambling, you know?
Right.
So, like, really good opponents. But 2 of those have been against Xavier. He's had a 17-point game and an 18-point game, if I'm correct in that. Yes, a 17. So he's had in 2 games against Xavier, Jake Thomas has had 35 points. So if Jake can get loose again against Xavier, and if they're going to leave him alone so that he can score 15 or more points, that's a bonus. Because I think that's kind of step one and step two of Marquette winning this game. One is Gardner getting at least 20, and I'm thinking more like 25.
Right.
He should go to work all day down there. And the other part, too, is Jake Thomas getting at least 4 3-pointers to fall.
Right. Well, and one again, and maybe Marquette's offense doesn't work this way, but maybe one argument would be to have Gardner in the post, whichever post, you know, if he's on the left or right block, whichever block Gardner's on, you put Jake Thomas on the same wing. So his player, you know, if Thomas's defender helps off to try and take away the post with Gardner, then Gardner can feed it out to Jake for some open looks. And if he doesn't help off the wingman, then Gardner can go one-on-one in the paint. It may be a relatively simple two-man game without Stainbrook.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And you know, Xavier and Marquette really, honestly, are pretty evenly matched for the most part.
Right.
Because they split the regular season. And without Stainbrook, I, you know, cautiously optimistic that Marquette can at least extend their season by a game here.
Well, it's also going to depend on Jameel Wilson, which Jameel shows up. He has gone to his quiet place the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can get, I'll just say a mediocre performance out of Jameel.
Are we due for a wow game from Jameel Wilson?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not saying he's got to score 20-something points every night, because I know that's asking a lot. But with his talent, wouldn't you think, like, once out of every, you know, 4, 5, 6 games, he could just go off and show that NBA potential that he has? Because he has it.
Right.
But, you know, at this point, granted, I'm not expecting him to be an NBA player now, because, you know, this is the end of his senior year, and he is what he is. But just for him to give one wow game, I think we're really due for one. And New York on Thursday night would be a great time for it.
Well, right. I mean, I agree with you. He doesn't need to be the leading scorer, but I think, and maybe I'm making a triple double sound simplistic, but he's got the ability. I mean, he's got the points and the rebounds. I mean, he's got the ability, you know, maybe with some assists, he could be on triple double threat alert. I don't think he'd necessarily, but he should be able to put together a game like that.
He should definitely be on double-double alert and then, you know, fill the stat sheet with a few block shots and a few assists here and there.
Right.
And some steals. And he can do all of that. And it would be really nice if they could just all put it together, because I know this is a pipe dream, really, but could you imagine just maybe one game when everyone is at their absolute peak on Marquette's roster, when Devontae Gardner's going to the line, getting fouled, getting 20-something points, Jake's making a bunch of threes, Jamil is tearing up defenders like he is capable of, and Derek Wilson is lockdown defender and not turning the ball over and creating for others on the other end. I mean, and Todd Mayo is in, like, the good Todd Mayo zone.
Locked into the upright and full position?
Yeah. I mean, that would be all, you know, I know that's a lot to ask for all in one game, but I'm just saying, in a pipe dream, could you imagine? That would actually be a very watchable and very entertainable team, entertaining team.
Absolutely, until after that game when everyone goes, where the heck was that all season? And that just enrages them further. But no, I agree. That would be awesome. I'm not saying it's going to happen against Xavier.
Xavier, for the record. But all I'm asking for, really, I'm asking for 20-plus points from Gardner, and hopefully Jake Thomas is able to get open again. And if he's not, if Xavier does, I don't know, concentrate their defense on Jake some after he's beat him twice, Jamil Wilson's got to take an advantage.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you're going to dedicate one guy to shut down Jake Thomas, fine. But there are guys on Marquette's roster that should be able to take advantage of that. Number one is Jamil Wilson, and number two and three are probably still Jamil Wilson. And then maybe, you know, hopefully maybe a guy like Burton and Mayo could come off the bench again.
Right. Well, and I think the other takeaway from this game is a lot of people are like, oh, Buzz has got to try something different. This isn't the game where he's going to do that. I don't think. I think he's, you know, the roster, the bench has been pretty tight the last 2 weeks. He's only going to go 8 deep, probably. I mean, because the last two games he didn't play Steve Taylor Jr. He didn't play Juan, I think, hardly at all. You know, he didn't play, who am I missing here? JJ.
Yeah, Dawson got spot minutes, and Johnson didn't see the floor.
Right. So, I mean, the bench is relatively short. I don't think that changes for this game.
No,
Buzz against Xavier.
Like you said, it's not the time to shake things up. I mean, granted, the time to shake things up was non-conference play against IUPUI and Ball State and times like that, and maybe during some, you know, in the dog days of the conference when they were struggling a little bit. Those were the and Buzz did shake it up, to be fair.
Right.
He did go with some different lineups during that time, and he didn't like what he saw, and, you know, some guys weren't able to deliver in the playing time they got, and that's why he's tightened up his rotation. No, if you're going into this Big East tournament saying it's time to play Juwan Johnson, it's time to start John Dawson, promise you, not happening.
Right.
Not happening.
I agree with you with one caveat, which if we talk about the next game, I will bring up.
Okay, yeah. We've broken down Xavier enough. Let's talk about the next game.
So it's either Georgetown or Creighton, correct?
Yes, correct.
So if it's Georgetown, we've beaten Georgetown twice in cardiac fashion.
Yes.
So again, that's one of those things where you say, you tweak in terms of strategy and maybe the personnel groupings, but again, the bench is going to be short. It's the same folks if it's Georgetown. Where I put the big caveat is if it's Creighton, you just have to do something different against Creighton because nothing has worked in the previous two games.
Yes, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And whatever Marquette's strategy has been against Creighton, it has not worked. And, obviously the big problem is Raggy.
Right.
Raggy, the big guy. Because the thing why Creighton is such a tough matchup is they take Gardner out of the game, essentially. Because he actually does a pretty good job on Gardner defensively. Like, he actually, like, kind of swarms him and frustrates him. And, yeah, maybe he flops, but bottom line, it works. And then on the other end, Gardner can't get out and guard him. And so he's able to knock down threes, and he's killed Marquette both times. So, yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but there would have to be something different. I've said on this podcast before, and I'm sticking with it, I just don't think Marquette can beat Creighton. because of the matchup, because they take Gardner out of the game.
I tend to agree with that, but I mean, I was thinking about it, and I'll be sure to email it to Buzz later.
Yeah, I'm sure he's anxiously awaiting.
Yes,
input,
and quite frankly, he may just thank me, you know, when he hears the podcast, and I may not need to email it.
Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, I was thinking about it, and you got to have Gardner on the floor. I mean, he's our best. He and
yeah,
Mayo.
You can't take him off the floor,
right?
Absolutely.
So, but I think you gotta go Gardner at the five, and I think this is a game where, unfortunately for Chris Otule, he sees almost no minutes, because you put Gardner at the five, and you got to have Steve Taylor Jr. and Burton play a lot of minutes, because those guys are athletic and long enough that they can keep up with the length and I don't know that it's athleticism, but you know, keep up with the length and the strategy.
The sneaky athleticism.
Yeah, the sneaky athleticism of Creighton. You know, especially Burton, and then Burton also helps on the offensive end. You know, especially with some of those Creighton players, Burton is going to outman a lot of those Creighton players. So could get to the rack, maybe draw some fouls. I mean, what would be the way you handle Raggy is you get him in foul trouble, or you get McDermott in foul trouble, and it removes a threat. You know, so you need some of those pieces like Burton that can kind of bowling ball his way through the lane. So I think that's what you do, is you see a lot of Burton and Steve Taylor Jr. And I would maybe play more Dawson, because I don't think this is a game you're going to win with defense. This is a game you've got to win with offense.
Yeah.
And I think Dawson, you know, while I don't think he's 100% ready for Big East this season, he brings more offense, certainly, than Derek Wilson does.
Yeah, you just got to hope you can have maybe a repeat of his showing in the Georgetown road win.
Right.
If you can get that from Dawson, that would be any way you can find any offense against Creighton, you got to take that chance. And, you know, Jameel Wilson, to beat Creighton, would have to have the game of his life defending McDermott. And he would have to, you know, almost make up for whatever he gives up on that end offensively. And
right.
That's asking a lot, ask him to go shot for shot with McDermott. But essentially that's what has to happen for Marquette to beat Creighton, which is such a tall task. That's why I am hoping, if Marquette can somehow get past Xavier, I am hoping for a Georgetown upset of Creighton.
Right.
Because then, you know, you at least think you got a shot, because they've beaten Georgetown twice already. And yeah, it's tough to beat a team three times. But I would much rather take my chances with a Georgetown getting their third shot at Marquette than Marquette getting a third shot at Creighton, because Creighton is just such a terrible matchup for the Golden Eagles. But Marquette is a frustrating matchup for Georgetown, as has been shown in the
right.
two games.
Well, and the point is, it's not like we need the top 25 RPI wins anymore, because we're not getting in an at-large bid. So right. I don't care if the Sisters of the Poor, you know, are the teams we face.
I would love to see DePaul in this tournament.
I would love for DePaul to go on a tear until it's not happening, but I would love for it to take place, and we have to play them, or you know, or
yeah, like for DePaul to beat Georgetown and then Creighton, and then we'll see Seton Hall in the final.
Right.
See you there, guys.
Hey, good. Glad we planned this out. All right. So what do you think? 12, 13 seed?
Yeah. That would probably be about it. Yeah, and like, thing is, I guess if you're an automatic bid, you're not gonna, from the Big East, you're not gonna get sent to Dayton, right?
I don't know. You could, I suppose.
Yeah.
Boy. I mean, if you're, I don't know. We're thinking
way so far ahead of that. Let's not even talk about it. But my big, besides Marquette, the big bummer for me is I would be so disappointed if, say, Marquette beats Xavier and then loses in the next round, and then the Big East only gets two teams in the tournament, which is a very realistic possibility.
I suppose it's realistic, but they have to – now, you know, teams like, unfortunately, UW-Milwaukee have, you know, popped some bubbles because they're getting automatic bids that are taking away from at-large teams. But, I mean, I don't see how the fourth-best conference in the country could only get three teams in. I don't see how they could only get three in. But it's a possibility.
Yeah, I think it's more than a possibility, because no matter who you look at, whether it's Lunardi or Palm, he had his out today, and then our guy, fellow Marquette alum, David Kamichik, has his out. None of them have more than three Big East teams in at the moment.
So they all have Creighton,
They all have
Villanova,
Creighton and Villanova, and
and
some of them have Xavier as like one of the last ones in.
I yeah, see, that's just.
And like Xavier is right there, and a loss to Marquette in the first round, it is going to be a nervous selection Sunday for Xavier. So that's the one thing that concerns me about the Xavier game is they're going to be a little desperate because they know if they lose, they are going to be sweating on selection Sunday. And then like Providence, St. John's, and Georgetown are all on the bubble, as they say. So they're all teams that have work to do. So essentially that I think that Providence St. John's first round game is an elimination game.
Yeah.
And then the winner hopes to get a win over Nova to get in.
Yeah, I guess I find it mind-boggling that the fourth best conference would only get two when you're looking at, the Big Ten's going to put four or five in, the ACC's going to put five or six in. It's
Yeah,
I
I know what
wonder
you're
if it's some
saying.
of that's just a reputation. I mean, everyone thinks the Big East is no good. They're not a major conference anymore,
Yeah, and yeah, I know Mike Broker has been campaigning like heck for the Big East to get more teams in, and he's doing the best he can to try to convince people that they deserve more. But I don't know how much good it's going to do. But I will say this, I don't feel I don't know if I'm quite I know what the numbers say, but I don't know if the Big East really is the fourth best conference because I just don't know how many really legit tournament because I've seen all the teams.
Right.
And the expression, I don't know what a tournament team is. I just know it when I see it. And I think Xavier's a tournament team. I think they should be in. But Providence and St. John's and Georgetown and Marquette,
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you. And what's going to be interesting, and is the because there's always these perception games, right? Like so. If the Big Ten puts in, let's say they put in five teams into March Madness, and five of them lose in the first round, everyone's going to say, "Oh, the Big Ten was no good."
Right.
Where or if the ACC puts in six and five of them advance to the round of 32, everyone's going to say, "Oh, greatest conference ever," and
Well, that's what the Big East dealt with the last couple
right.
years, because we got 9, 10, 11 teams in sometimes, but only had two in the Sweet 16, and everybody was always ripping the Big East because of that. And maybe it's fair, maybe it's not, but yeah, you do deal with that because, like, whatever that happens in the tournament, that's kind of the end all be all. That's what you're judged on.
Right.
And that's why, obviously, I want Marquette to get in, of course, as much as we bemoan the season and all that stuff. Wouldn't we all love to see Marquette make a run here in New York and get into the tournament? But I want to see as many Big East teams in as possible. I would love to see the tournament get five, six teams in. Now, six probably not going to happen, but I would love to see the conference get five teams in and for them all to win a couple games because that would look really good on the league.
Right. Well, absolutely. And that's, with I don't know, with the exception of maybe Creighton, they've left a bad taste in my mouth this season. Come tournament time, assuming Marquette's not in the March Madness, I'll cheer for the Big East over any other team.
Oh, I will too. Yeah, I'm going to be cheering hard for any Big East team that's in the tournament. Yes, including Creighton. I'll be cheering them for them to probably win every game.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't love, like a Villanova winning the whole thing and saying, "See, told you, Big East, good."
Yep, Big East champs
Right.
belt. Got it. I would love to. I guess I haven't really thought about it until you just said that, but I guess I am cheering for Villanova to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I'll cheer for Creighton, but it won't be very loud and it won't be very visible.
It will be a hate cheer. It's
Right.
like
Yeah.
I hate that I'm cheering for you. It's different from like the past couple of years where like when Louisville and Syracuse would make deep runs, I'm still rooting against them.
Oh, absolutely.
I never cheered for Louisville or Syracuse to go deep in the tournament. But yeah, for this year, for the sake of the conference, yeah, whoever gets in from the Big East, I am waving pom-poms and hope to see you down here in Texas.
Yep, absolutely.
I have my tickets, by the way.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. When I bought them, I was hoping maybe there was an outside shot that Marquette was going to be there, but
So now they're going to be a money-making device.
yeah, oh yeah, I'll probably profit off them quite well.
Well,
Unless, of course, Kansas makes it here, then I have family and friends who are going to come down.
that's true. Which if they're face if Kansas were to face Villanova in the final, I would have no issue with that.
Yeah, I can get it. But back to the task at hand, as we really got off track there.
Well,
But
we didn't talk about Seinfeld, so we're okay still.
no, we there's still time for that.
That's true.
There is still time. But bottom line is, Phil, for Marquette to win the Big East tournament, as we talk about, I think they can beat a Xavier team that's missing its big man. I am hoping for a Georgetown upset of Creighton and to meet Georgetown in the semifinals. And then, you know, you just meet whoever you meet in the championship, whether it's – I would bet it's either Villanova or St. John's. I think St. John's playing in the Garden is going to be tough to beat. And St. John's is kind of my pick among the non-locks. I think St. John's is the most likely bid thief in this tournament.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Just
over Georgetown?
Yeah. Just Georgetown is just so dang inconsistent. I mean, they lost to Marquette twice. They lost to Seton Hall twice. And, you know, but the thing is they do have some big wins. So, I can't. Thing is, for Georgetown, they would have to win four games in 4 days.
Right. Well, and I was just going to say that is the big difference is St. John's bracket sets up much better for them. Plus, it's a home game for them than it is Georgetown. So, you know, given what their performance potentially or likely could be in the Big East tournament, I would agree, I guess, overall. But I think Georgetown, maybe you're right. I guess I would lean Georgetown, but I definitely see the St. John's.
Yeah, I guess my other hope for this Big East tournament, I hope it's relatively well attended, because I'm telling you right now, if St. John's is playing Creighton or Villanova is playing Creighton for the Big East championship in front of an empty arena, that is going to be a sad sight, and it won't be long until the media starts buzzing about how can we possibly get the Big East out of here and get the ACC in here. Because, you know, people started talking about that as soon as the ACC got Syracuse last year. And, you know, I don't know what – I forget what the deal is, the contract with the Big East and MSG, how long that lasts.
I think it's another 3 years.
Yeah, so we have some time there. But and I know Creighton has sold a bunch of tickets, as you would expect, because this is kind of their year. It's kind of like now or never for them.
Right.
But I just hope there is a good showing of, you know, of fans from all Big East teams there. Hopefully St. John's and Seton Hall fill the place up when their teams are there. If there are any Marquette alums in New York City listening to this podcast, please grab a friend and take him or her to the Madison Square
Garden.
Yeah,
they don't even have to be a Marquette fan. Just take them.
Yeah, just there's plenty of strangers on the street. Hey, man, you like basketball?
I'm sure it makes for a great date. What girl or guy wouldn't want to go to Madison Square Gardens for some college basketball?
I think it sounds like a lovely time.
I wish someone would invite me.
Maybe wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But, I guess before we wrap things up here, Phil, what is your prediction? What is going to happen in Madison Square Garden this week? Give me how far Marquette goes and who wins the tournament.
I think Marquette beat Xavier. In a close until the end game, I think Marquette ultimately finishes up maybe 8, 9, 10 points, but comes close. And then I think they just get absolutely stomped against Creighton again. I think, unfortunately, Georgetown matches up well with Creighton, but I just don't think, to your point, Georgetown's pretty inconsistent. I don't see Creighton, unless the rims are just stiff as a board, I don't see Creighton losing early. And I think ultimately, though, I do think Villanova beats Creighton in the championship.
All right. I will take sadly, for as far as Marquette is concerned, I have the exact same prediction as you. I have a close win over Xavier and then an absolute gut-wrenching, disheartening destruction against Creighton in the semifinal game. I just don't think it's going to change. I think Creighton is just that much better matchup, and I think Creighton ends Marquette's tournament hopes. And in the final, I'm going to say Creighton over St. John's. I'm going to say St. John's is going to upset Nova, and I will take Creighton over St. John's in the final.
Okay. Oh, I can only hope this is all just a bunch of reverse jinxing.
Exactly. That is what we're hoping for. And hopefully, on our next podcast, we will be talking about a miraculous Marquette NCAA tournament bid. But more than likely, we may be talking about NIT action at the Al.
Oh, which, to be perfectly frank, is about as exciting as the NIT can get.
I will say that. Obviously, you would rather be, you know, in Alaska in the NCAA tournament than anywhere in the NIT. But if you have to play an NIT game, I think having an NIT game at the Al McGuire Center, just load that place up with students. Like, all the students who maybe said, who maybe aren't huge basketball fans, but, you know, I've kind of thought – because I fully understand that not everyone loves basketball. Not everyone goes to Marquette. Some people go to Marquette to study.
What?
But I know. I haven't met any, but some people do.
There are rumors.
I know. But the people who, you know, the fans who may be casual basketball fans, it's right there on campus. There's no excuse to not go. You don't have to walk. You don't have to get on a bus. You don't have to get on a, you know, hitch a ride with a friend. It's right there on campus. You can walk to the Owl, pack the Owl full of students, and hopefully have just a loud and rowdy crowd for an NIT game. That would make the NIT fun for me. Otherwise, the NIT, you know, who cares?
Now, but, I don't know if this is a dream matchup or a nightmare. Could you imagine? And I don't think it likely, because I unfortunately think this team makes the NCAA tournament. But could you imagine a home game at the Owl, Marquette versus Indiana, return of Tan Tommy?
Oh man! Now you talk about packing the Owl. Like, I was originally going to say, you know, for an NIT game, the alumni probably wouldn't really care to get in. And so that we could just pack it with students. But boy, the alumni would come out with pitchforks.
How many people would walk in with cans of fake bake and karate outfits and ATV pictures? And it would be epic.
Yeah, I don't think Indiana – I'm trying to look at some projections here real quick as we're talking. I don't think Indiana is really projected to be in the tournament. I'm pretty sure Indiana is NIT bound. Barring a miraculous,
they're
7-11 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Indiana's one of those ones where they've got a number of good wins, but they've got a fair number of just flabbergastingly bad wins or bad losses.
You know what else is maybe a possibility? And this would kind of be a bummer, honestly. I wouldn't necessarily root for this, but what if UW Green Bay comes to the Owl with Brian Wardle?
Yeah. That would be a reasonable second choice over Indiana.
Yeah, especially since that was the, you know, loss that everyone is standing on, you know, standing on the ledge last year was losing to Green Bay.
Right.
But yeah, I could see Green Bay and Marquette in the first round of the NIT, but hopefully we'll have a miracle in New York. But beyond that, I'm all for having an NIT game at the Owl. So maybe that's what we'll be talking about next week.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably likely.
Thoughts on New York, Phil? Yeah, probably not.
Final thoughts on New York? No, let's just see the games and
just end it already.
Yeah, kind of like they shoot horses, don't they? let's try our best, boys, and see what happens.
Yeah, like I said last week, one thing I'm rooting for these seniors, just to have one game that they're going to remember, because they still don't really have a memorable win this year, do they?
No.
They don't have a win this year that everyone's going to say, man, I remember that game. What a great game.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to remember that Providence game, by the way, for Devontae Gardner's shot that didn't go in, or that didn't count.
Right.
Because it was after the butter. Oh, man. Second time this year. What a heartbreaker.
Well, and there's memorable games, but they were games like somehow, like, they weren't, I guess they would say, memorable games, but they weren't very well-played games. Like the Georgetown game at Georgetown when Mayo forced overtime with the last second three. They were lucky to be in that position, and, you know, and it wasn't a well-played game either way. The Providence game wasn't necessarily well-played either way. To your point, I want them to have a signature win where start to finish, it's solid, it's very good. Even if it's a close game, that they just play well. And you go, okay, good
win.
Season, guys. Good win.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's end on that note. Let's all hit the locker room and call it a day.
Yeah, so hopefully that happens. Again, thanks for listening, everyone, to Scrambled Eggs. As always, you can download us on iTunes or find us on cracksidewalks.com. Find us on Twitter. Crack Sidewalks is the team page. Of course, individually, I am Joe McCann 3. Phil is M00F23. And we always welcome your comments and questions. And, hey, you can shoot us your thoughts, and maybe we break down the season when it's over. But hopefully we'll be talking, you know, NIT or NCAA tournament next week. So,
yep.
Again, everyone, thanks for listening, and hope the rest of your championship week is seashells and balloons.